from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God which engages us on this day is the gospel lesson which was just read, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, it just isn't fair. That was the reaction of at least some of the workers in the parable which serves as our text for today. The workers that were hired first at dawn and agreed to go and work in the vineyard for a denarius, the standard wage for a day's work. They went in the vineyard and began to work. And they couldn't help but notice how the owner of the vineyard went out again to hire more workers to come and work in the vineyard, going out at the third hour, or about 9 in the morning, the sixth hour, about noon, the ninth hour, about 3 in the afternoon, and even the 11th hour, about 5 in the afternoon, hiring more workers and having them come and work in the vineyard. Nothing unfair so far. But then at the end of the day, the owner summoned his foreman and instructed him to pay the workers, beginning with those who were hired last, at the 11th hour. And when they came forward to be paid, they received a denarius, the wage given for an entire day's work, even though they had worked such a short time. When those who were hired at dawn, those who had worked the longest there in the vineyard, saw this, now they expected to receive more. Even though they had agreed in the beginning to work for a denarius, when they observed those only working about an hour receiving a denarius, they expected to receive more. But contrary to their expectations, when they came forward and were paid, they also received a denarius. Oh, it's just not fair. They grumbled and complained against the landowner, even though they had agreed to work for a denarius, and the landowner was not cheating them. He had not agreed to pay them one thing and now was going to pay them less. He was paying them exactly what he had agreed to pay them. But it's just not fair, they thought to themselves. Jesus did not tell this parable or any other parable merely to tell an entertaining story. He wanted to teach his hearers something about the kingdom of God. And the disciples who were there listening to this parable were certainly men who thought that they deserved more. They would think it unfair if they received from God merely what others were receiving. For just before our text, Peter speaks up for the entire group of disciples and reminds Jesus, Lord, we left everything behind to follow you. What is there for us? And you'll remember how on more than one occasion they argued amongst themselves as to which one of them would be the greatest. You remember how the mother of James and John came to Jesus pleading for special places of honor and prominence for her sons, one at Christ's right hand and one at his left when he comes into his kingdom. Yes, they expected more. It would be unfair of God to give them merely what he was going to give to others. They had worked longer and harder. And then there were the Pharisees, who apparently also were still within earshot of Jesus as he told this parable. Why, they certainly expected more from God. It certainly would be unfair if God gave to them the same amount as he would give to others. After all, they were the chosen people of God. They had Abraham as their father, and their religious piety, their selfless devotion to the thousands of rules and regulations was clear evidence for everyone of their special prominence in the kingdom. It would be unfair if God gave to them that merely which he was going to give to everyone else. It's just not fair. The disciples, the Pharisees, how about us? Aren't there ways that we rationalize to ourselves that we really deserve more? That it really just isn't fair that God would give to us on the same level that he gives to others? For example, second career students could say, I left behind my career, my wife left her job, we sold our home, we pulled our children out of school in order to come here to this place. Why, one can almost hear the words of the disciples, can't we? We left everything behind to come here. What's there for us? Traditional students can say, I spent 4 years of hard study to get an undergraduate degree, and now I'm here in this place in a 4-year rigorous program of study. Why, with this amount of education, I could have gone out and been a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, or any number of vocations where I would receive many times what I'm going to receive in terms of pay as a pastor. I deserve more. Professors could say, I have all of these classes I need to teach, all of these tests, all these papers I need to grade, and I spend countless hours in committee meetings, and on top of that, I'm expected to write books and articles and go out and speak across the country. I deserve more. Staff members could say, I work at a fevered pace to get all of my work accomplished. I, too, spend countless hours in committee meetings, and I don't even get the breaks in between quarters or 3 weeks off in August like the students and the faculty get. I deserve more. It just isn't fair. I will grant you that there was one time in particular when God was incredibly unfair. There was one time when a person received that from God which was terribly unfair and inappropriate. There was a time when that person, his son, who was totally innocent, was made to be guilty. There was a time when his son was left there on the cross crying out from help, and the answer was silence. There was a time when God allowed his own dear son, his beloved son, to be murdered at the hands of mere mortals and did not intervene to prevent it or to stop it. How incredibly unfair of God. But as a result of that incredibly unfair act, something wonderfully unfair is now made possible. Now God pronounces those who are guilty to be innocent. He gives to those who deserve death life. How good and gracious God has been to all of us, way beyond our wildest expectations, way beyond even our wildest times of self-delusion as to what we might think we deserve or merit before God. Stop and think about how good and gracious God has been to you. He has created you and given you life. He has redeemed you, not with gold or silver, but with the holy, precious blood of his Son and with his innocent suffering and death. And then to make everything that his Son accomplished yours, to appropriate it for you and make it your own. He did what you could not do. By his Holy Spirit, he called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and has kept you in this one true faith. And in just a few moments, something equally, incredibly unfair is going to take place. When all of us, who just a few moments ago confessed that we are by nature sinful and unclean, are going to be invited to his table to receive not only bread and wine, but his Son's body and blood, the forgiveness of all of our sin, life, and salvation. For as Luther says, where there is forgiveness of sin, there is also life and salvation. The point of the parable is clear. God's grace and his gracious gifts are not the result of work, accomplishments, time spent, energy expended, or any other human calculation. They are instead, by definition, given freely and with abundance, without any human qualification or quantification. And when we realize that, our grumbling and complaining turns to praise and thanksgiving. When we realize that, we look at our fellow workers in the vineyard in a different light, no longer begrudging God's grace to them, in the fact that they are fellow partakers of God's grace with us, no longer looking down upon others who are outside of the vineyard, but instead eagerly inviting them to come into the vineyard and work with us, for there has never been a greater master or one more gracious. Yes, it is true. It is unfair, incredibly, wonderfully unfair. And so with that, you'll understand when I say, may God continue to be incredibly unfair to you unto life everlasting. Amen.